The search for knowledge is in our genes.
Science brings out the best in us.
Time is but a stubborn illusion.
The chimpanzee is actually modifying a natural object to suit it to a specific purpose, thus making it.
We are all time travelers, journeying together into the future.
If we don't stop the destruction of our natural world, the only home any of us will ever know, nothing else will matter.
Up in the mountains near Preston, Idaho, and the Oneida Narrows of the Bear River, Professor Joe Wheaton of Utah State University and his students are working to restore a small stream called Station Creek.
My name's Joe Wheaton. I'm a professor in the Department of Watershed Sciences at Utah State University. These students out here are part of two classes, so as part of our restoration consortium, we have a capstone class that our undergraduate majors have to take, and then the other course is a group of graduate students that are in partnering with Beaver as a restoration tool course. And so the two of them are out here this weekend in the miserable rain designing their project. And then next weekend they're going to come out and they're going to build that stuff.
Wheaton and his colleagues at USU's Fluvial Habitat Center are part of a growing trend of researchers and resource managers that are looking to beavers as a tool in stream restoration.
You know, as engineers, we've got a couple thousand years of experience. You know, they've got at least, 100,000 on us on that front, so they're more experienced. So there's a bunch of reasons we use beaver in restoration, and most of it has to do with their manipulation of the environment, their sort of ecosystem engineering.
Throughout the 19th century, mountain men such as Jim Bridger, Jedediah Smith, and others trapped beavers extensively in the Rocky Mountains, supplying furs for hats that had become fashionable back east and in Europe. But little did these fur trappers know, they were greatly altering streams for at least the next 200 years. Beaver numbers now are a fraction of what they once were. On Station Creek, Wheaton and his students can see the impacts of old beaver dams, even though beavers haven't been observed there for about 30 years.
How would you describe the floodplain? It's stepped.
Okay.
And what does that suggest?
Past beaver.
Yeah, it at least suggests that it's structurally forced flooding of the floodplain. So that's probably one big massive dam at the front of that sort of cattail area. All the way across, there's probably another little dam right in here. Potentially another one up in there. Old relic dams.
According to Wheaton, beaver dams have many positive impacts on streams.
They're modifying habitat for their own purposes. But in the process, it makes way better habitat for not just in-stream biota, not just the sort of riparian vegetation that's there, but it also makes it a magnet for wildlife and upland species, waterfowl, and birds that are just flying through an area.
So beavers increase the number of different habitats that native species rely on. But Wheaton says they can also benefit people in a more direct way.
It also makes these much less efficient conveyors of water. And that inefficiency, we've spent the last couple hundred years managing the West to be a more efficient drain so we could get it quicker. And what we've inadvertently done is make ourselves way more vulnerable to things like fire, things like drought, to things like flood. When these systems are cluttered up and when they have a lot of structure in them, they are less efficient conveyors of all mass, water, wood, sediment, whatever. And that inefficiency is what makes these more resilient riverscapes.
Basically, if you were to compare a stream drainage with lots of beavers to one without, you'd see that the one with beavers has more late summer water flow, which is becoming more critical as droughts impact the Mountain West. You'd also see that forest fires don't burn as much area around streams because beaver dams promote the growth of fire-resistant vegetation.
If we can get them to take over doing the work of restoration, they expand their footprint and they can do a lot of good. They can also be an absolute pain in the neck. So they can clog up irrigation ditches, they can clog up culverts, they can cause flooding in areas where there's infrastructure. And so we have to be realistic about that and recognize that there are places where we need to mitigate those sorts of actions. But in a lot of cases, nuisance beaver from those areas can be live trapped and translocated into some of the areas they've been extirpated from, where they can do some of this good that we're after.
Wheaton and his students are now working to create a complex of artificial beaver dams so that nuisance beavers captured from elsewhere can be released into Station Creek and find themselves at home. The hope is that the beavers will then start building their own dams and start creating new habitats and increasing the resiliency of the stream and surrounding areas to drought and fire.
That's one small step for man.
Thanks for listening to Utah Public Radio's Science Utah. I'm Niall Clancy. Look for Science Utah on Apple Podcasts or at upr.org.